Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 607. I am Chris. We are back after a two-week hiatus that was all my fault. So apologize for keeping these lovely gentlemen away from your ears.
I was going to say, technically speaking, we were free to record.
We could have.
Yes.
In fact, it's mostly our laziness's fault. None of us want to be bothered to do the recording.
I mean, like, once I get a free Thursday, I'm like, I'm going to go out drinking, so.
Fair enough. Tony is here.
You know what's wrong with this podcast? Quarterback.
You're bringing quarterbacks? The other girls don't know how to act.
Earl is here as well.
I got nothing sports, but I am told that Evu actually dies tonight, so.
I mean, it ends. Halloween has finally ended.
Yeah,
until the next one.
This is only going to be what the franchise's third or fourth ending.
Doesn't it end in every movie? Like, isn't that how the movie ends?
No, yeah. I mean, like, this is the end of saga.
Oh,
did you not see the advertisement? This is the last time that Jamie.
You'll be shocked to hear, Earl, that I did not.
The last time that Jamie Curtis will be playing.
Laurie Strode.
Yes, that's only the third time that's happened.
So she's evil and she's ending tonight. Is that?
Yes, that's it. Laurie Strode is ending tonight.
I mean, that's possible.
Again. Yeah, she ended in the original Halloween 2.
Yeah.
And then she ended in Resurrection in like the first 3 minutes of that film. And now she's ending again. In Halloween Ends.
But this time it's for real. She even signed a contract on one of the Jimmys. I don't remember which one.
Yeah, I don't know if it was Fallon or Kimmel. I heard that as well. Of course, she also said that if a good script came along, she would be interested in seeing what they had to offer.
So she lied.
Yeah.
She's a lying liar who lied.
Yeah, I mean, she's been in 7 of these films, so she is kind of one of the faces of the franchise. I don't know.
I mean, she is the face of the franchise.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't count Michael's Mask, I guess. But yeah, the public face for sure. She's the one that gets out there and does the PR and hypes everybody up.
Yes, Yeah, the advertisement, the promotion has been around her and hers. Okay, because the end is her. It's not, I mean, it could be Michael, but it's her. Like, the promotion has been around her last time saying Laurie Strode again, but.
Yeah. Her. I mean, anybody that's followed slasher movies knows that, like, it's not the end. I mean, how many times has Friday the 13th ended? There was one called The Final Chapter. That was the fourth film.
Yes, it's always great. Like, The Last Nightmare was also, or Freddy's Dead was
The Final Nightmare. Yep.
Jason went to hell. I mean, Jason. Mm-hmm. Yes, Jason died several times, and his franchise died just as often as he has. Yeah, it happens. I mean, Saw had a final chapter that was what? 3 movies ago?
Yeah, I think that was Saw 6.
It was 7, but then we had Jigsaw and we had Spiral. So 2 movies ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, Resident Evil was the only one I think that had a final chapter that was the final chapter until they rebooted it.
If anybody's followed Halloween, it has like, there's like 3 different timelines now because they've rebooted it so many times.
Oh, I was going to say there's 4 timelines, I believe.
Oh, right. I keep forgetting the zombie timeline.
Yeah.
Exists.
It's been rebooted, remade, rebooted again. I always tell people, it's like a choose your own adventure thing. It's up there with Terminator in terms of like, yeah, you can do whatever you want with this franchise.
As long as you have a giant guy in blue coveralls and a white mask.
Does he have to wear the coveralls? Is that like part of the ensemble? Does he ever have coveralls?
I don't think he does.
Like, they made it a point in some of the movies where it's like a plot point when he goes gets them.
Yeah, like he's gone and killed mechanics again.
Yes.
It's like in Zelda where he like gets the sword.
Exactly.
It has to happen.
Or like when he gets the tunic, it's like, it's a big part of the mythos is that he needs that. They say a thing with the mask, which is a really weird mask in that it is like a Halloween thing you can just buy in the store in the franchise. But it's also just a custom-made mask that doesn't exist. But there's been several movies where like part of the subplots have been, oh, people are wearing this mask and they got mistaken for him.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a big, big plot point of Halloween, the original Halloween 2.
Yes, and 4.
Yep.
And, yeah.
Well, I hope Jeff is enjoying the end. He was very skeptical of it going in, so we'll see. I'm going to watch it tomorrow.
Like I said, I'm going... Well, I mean, yes, part of why I'm going to San Francisco is to see it with a friend. Who I've been getting into horror.
You're going all the way to San Francisco to watch this movie that has been critically panned?
I've seen worse movies, I'm sure. But no, I've been getting a friend into horror film since the start of the pandemic, and it was like, oh, this is a golden opportunity. I've never been to San Fran to do it and have an activity to do. I do like activities.
Are you going to the theater?
Yes.
Yep. That is a different experience for horror fans, especially if, you know, a film like this should have some people in there on the weekend. It's always fun when there's a crowd that is into the film, whether it's good or bad, as long as they're into it is fun.
Yes, like I went to see Smile yesterday, and that was made a lot better by the crowd.
Yeah, it can really elevate the enjoyment of a film. That if you were to just... This same thing happened with me. I went and saw a film called Terrifier 2. The crowd was like really into it. I think if I had just watched it by myself at home and like, it was fine. But like, you know, watching it with people that were really into it and yelling at the screen or like, you know, oh God, that's super gross. Like hearing people like make commentary, it makes it a different experience.
Yes.
But we've been away for a couple weeks. And I assume that you guys have played some games in that time. I could be wrong.
I was going to say you might be wrong.
Maybe we haven't. Maybe we protested. Like, Chris is gone. He's spiked the podcast, therefore we're not going to play anything, just to spite him.
Well, I know for a fact, because I checked where Tony was with achievements, and I know Jeff had mentioned it, that you at least the two of you played Deathloop. I don't know if you have, Earl.
I have not. I completely forgot that came out.
Yes, well, I mean, it is a rather forgettable experience. So.
Yeah. Wow, yeah, super forget, like it is just like, oh, this is a thing that exists, I guess. Like,
yeah,
it's fine.
I'm surprised. I mean, I guess I just expected more after like a year of waiting that it would be more than fine.
Yeah. I especially with the critical kind of word around it when it came out last year, you know, it made some like, you know, year end lists, like in their top 10s. Might have won some Game of the Year awards somewhere. Like this, it has a style to it, but it's like it
buys into its shtick so much that there's really nothing else to it.
Yeah,
I just
it is like very devoted to its shtick.
Yes. I feel like it's the classic like Sony exclusive that gets overhyped. Like people think the quality is better than it is because it's a Sony exclusive. And then when it no longer is, like, oh, we'll see it for what it really is, which is a pretty just meh shooter with an endless loop of you dying. Great.
Yeah, so that's kind of the premise here is you play as this guy Colt, who is being taunted by friend, foe, woman Juliana, and when you die, it's basically like Groundhog Day, Happy Death Day, like where you loop back to the where you were at the start of the game, and you start it all over again. And I guess the premise is like you're picking up pieces of information in each iteration
that you can play better next time.
Yeah, and like you're piecing together the overall story, and then you're supposed to kill these guys called the Visionaries to unlock, like I guess to like actually break the death loop.
Break the loop.
Yeah, which they break keep saying the over loop. And over
again. Over again.
And if they're not saying it, they're throwing it up on the screen, like in you know, cursive writing off on the side of the corner of your eye. And it's like, what is going on?
It's like the game should be like 2 hours long, because if it wasn't like break the loop over and over and over again, there'd be no content.
Yeah, it's a roguelike. Right, yeah. Or you know, it's so yeah, it's like
that's what it sounded. That's what I was getting. It sounds like a roguelike,
yeah,
but
instead of
like it's driven by the players more than it is by the game, because like some of those people are actual other humans who are hunting you as that secondary character, right?
You yes. can open your game up to have Juliana be a you know player controlled character. I guess makes it a little bit more interesting, but I like immediately shut that off.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to mess with that. I don't want like some guy who's plays this obsessively to like just kill me every time. That doesn't sound like fun. And those seem to be like the people who would do that.
And I don't think that this is something across the board with Arcane games. I don't think their shooting is particularly great.
No.
It doesn't feel like it doesn't feel like a good shooter. Like it's the appeal of this is more like unlocking the mystery. And if you're playing against somebody that actually knows how to play, you're at a disadvantage. Like you're trying to play it like a shooter, like you played before. Yep. Like immediately shut that off. Like do not invade my game. I'm having a hard enough time because Colt is not, he cannot take a lot of hits.
No, he's pretty brittle.
So like yeah, to give myself a better chance, do not invade my game with a real person. Will murder me immediately. Yeah, I mean it looks neat, I guess. I kind of like the Colt and Juliana interactions, but I don't know. I'm not like drawn back to it. I've played twice now, and not more than like a half hour. Like I played basically till I died. It's like okay, that was enough.
That was good. I'm good. I'm done.
Yeah.
And when he dies, like he gets up, and it's like it was a dream before,
which
is fine. Except like if it's a dream, you like should remember more than he does when he wakes up. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I guess, like, that's what's weird, because, right, we're remembering, you know, everything that happened in the previous run, but yeah. He is, like, a little forgetful on the details of it all.
But he's seeing the stupid messages on the screen, and, like, he's not running around leaving messages for himself. He wouldn't know to do that, because he can't remember the previous run, so it doesn't even make logical sense.
Right. Yeah, so that's Deathloop. We waited a year for that. I'm kind of happy I did, like that I did not buy it for my PS5 and
yes,
I waited on it. I'm sure that it is a game, like there is a certain type of player that enjoys this type of game, likes these types of like game loops. I am not a roguelike person, so and I don't think it plays great. So whatever. Earl, maybe you should try it.
Maybe. I mean,
maybe
you're saying all the stuff that I have. Bad controls, iffy story, repeating the same thing. Oh, it's the thing a guy dreams about when he plays video games.
Yep. Yep. Perfect. You should try it.
And what if the more interesting aspects you say don't turn on? Because and especially for a game that's been out for a year, there'll probably be people who are deathly good at this game.
Yeah, now I don't know if it has crossplay, so I don't know if it's like dropping you in with PC players or PS5 players. If it is, you're at a really big disadvantage then. Because they've had it for a year.
Yeah.
That
is disappointing.
Yeah. And then the other one that Bethesda released for the PlayStation, Ghostwire Tokyo, that was not critically acclaimed. So I don't know. Maybe I'll come out when that one finally releases.
Like that.
Yeah, like, maybe I'll like good. That one. We'll see. You guys play anything else?
Nope.
Did I play? I played a lot. I talked about it last time. I've been playing Mountain Blade 2, Bannerlord. But I stopped because they're we're releasing this huge patch with a bunch more content at launch, which is like a week and a half from now. I'm like, I might as well just wait until I can play the whole thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I know you were looking forward to the multiplayer of Chivalry 2.
Yes, and I installed it. I just haven't had any time to play with anyone.
To get to that one.
Like, because that's one of the games I want to play with you guys. Like, I want to actually...
Okay. I will install it then. And we could try to make some time with Walt. And Earl will be away.
Earl, bring your Xbox to California so that you can...
I will bring my Switch. Go on ad.
No. I mean, it might be. I don't know. Probably looks like crap.
It is on Game Pass, though, so...
Yeah.
You don't have to pay for it if... Well, I mean, you are paying for it, but... It is included in your subscription.
Yes.
On your Xbox. And it probably looks much better there than on Switch.
I'm mostly biding my time with games right now. I'm waiting for the patch Madden. I'll go on the Reddit for Madden every once in a while, and it'll be people complaining. They're supposed to release all these like scenarios you can play for each week.
Mm-hmm.
And they're supposed to do it every week and release new scenarios. They haven't gotten past week one.
It's been a very long week.
They still haven't released a patch fixing the numerous like franchise issues, and the issue that I was having is still like I can't continue that game any further. Like it still hasn't been fixed. So, which is frustrating. Yeah. Like this is the time of year I would be playing Madden, like waiting for the games, the big fall games to come, get involved in like a sports game, play a lot of it, and I feel like I can't play Madden at all.
Well, the bright side for you, there's not a ton of big games this year, so...
Yeah. Now I'm looking at, like, Gotham Knights. Do I want that? Maybe I want that.
I mean, I'm going to get Gotham Knights just because I'm a bad, bad Batman whore. But I don't think it's going to be a good game. It's just I can admit when I'm just being a whore. And I'm getting it because of the IP attached to it.
Yeah.
But yes, it is a very dreary year end.
Yeah. There are a bunch of games coming out after that I want. There's, the full release of Bannerlord. There's the game you guys are really super waiting for, the new Paradox game, Victoria 3, which is end of October.
Oh yeah,
the same day as Bannerlord. Actually, they're both October 25th. And then God of War is not that far away now.
Yeah. I mean, it's
that's on gold too, so that's coming.
It's a dreary year end, but like the next month or so, God of War, Bayonetta, Mario plus Rabbit, Sparks of Hope, Call of Duty, there's stuff coming. It's just like, that's pretty much the end of the year. Pokemon's out in a month. I honestly, okay, that's it. That's all I got.
There's I'm drawing a blank on it. There's the new Super Giant, Super Massive. The Dark Pictures game that comes out.
Oh, wait, there is a new one. I was going to say, because The Quarry just came out earlier this year.
Yep, The Quarry just came out, and The Devil in Me is releasing shortly, the end of this month, or mid-November.
Well, good on them.
So I'm looking forward to that one. But yeah, there's nothing like outside of the Callisto Protocol, and that's like December. I'm not really like, yeah, I need to get a new game.
Nice. I think you guys are forgetting something here.
Yeah.
No, Jeffrey.
What's that, Jeff?
Sonic Frontiers. Duh.
I'm not forgetting that. I'm not getting that.
you know what we are forgetting, Jeff? Should the ink be blue or black?
I'm really good at reading like fine print usually.
It's not even fucking print. I filled out the passport form earlier this year, and it's like in big letters. It's like black ink only.
And that's like that type of form. You're like looking for all that stuff, like, you know, trying to read every little thing it's telling you. And I just didn't.
It's probably like, I mean, Tony said it's right at the top. It's probably like where you wouldn't expect to see it, because it's like it's in the spot be at.
It's definitely on there. It's just I don't know how I, you know, I always figured, you know, if you're doing something in pen, that black or blue is usually okay. But yeah. Oops. And that like really
but it's so weird, because like sometimes like it'll be don't use blue ink, and then sometimes it'll be don't use black ink. Like, it's like, make up your fucking minds.
No, I wasn't using like a crazy color ink. I figured, you know, it's normal enough. It almost looks, it doesn't, whatever.
Well, the good news for you is I redid my passport earlier this year, like I said. And I didn't have it expedited, and I had it back in a month.
Well, it's been almost 2 months now.
Well, yeah, but a lot of it is because it was like mistaken, right? There was an error on it, so it took longer.
They probably looked at it, Jeff, and were like, "Oh, it's not correct," and threw it in a pile.
Yeah.
What I'm worried about now, though, is like, you know, the letter just says fill out the application and send it back. I'm like, do I have to give another photo? They did cash my check right away, like literally like the week I sent it, they cashed the check, and then they waited till now to be like, oh yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he got his money.
Exactly what happened. They threw your shit into a pile of rejections.
And then threw the check in another pile.
Yep.
Well, let me ask this question. Is it more expensive to, you know, resubmit a new fee with like the expedited everything, or you know, just eat the whole cost of your entire trip?
Well, true. But from what I'm told, like, I don't have to pay it again.
I don't think you would have to.
She's like, no, they send letters to people and shit all the time. Like, something got wrong. She's like, she was pretty apologetic about what happened.
Was it that she forgot to have you sign
the form again? She said, she's like, I do that all the time. I photocopy because people put it in the wrong ink or whatever. She's like, I didn't realize that you had signed it before, because the signature is the thing that cannot be photocopied.
If you want more bad news, Jeff, don't look at the Bears game right now.
I caught a little bit of it tonight, and it's the same shit as always. But why did
they made an awesome stop. They're up by one. They made an awesome stop in the fourth quarter. They're going to get the ball back. The punt returner tripped over his own feet and muffed the punt. And now the Redskins have the ball at like the four.
Wait,
I'm sorry, the Commanders. Sorry, there's not such thing as the Redskins.
Wait, what is going on in this? It seems like Thursday Night Football is cursed this year.
Yes.
Thursday Night Football is cursed.
Like those games should not happen.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, your body needs, football is hard. Your body needs a certain amount of time to recover from the previous game. 4 days is significantly less than that amount of time.
Well, do they not make it, like, I guess it wouldn't matter. I was going to say, wouldn't they make it so that the people who pay, but then you're still, you can't go Thursday to Thursday, so there's no week off, is there?
No. Like you get like a mini bye when you play on a Thursday and you play the next week, but yeah, you have a very short week if you are playing on Thursday.
What do you mean?
All right, so that was Deathloop and Jeff's passport problems. Jeff, do you have any opinion on Deathloop? Did you give it a try?
Yeah, I played a couple levels. I don't get what the thing is. Like, it's not even what I expected it to be at all. Like, it's just like a stealth first person shooter, and didn't seem terrible, but I didn't find the stealth any very interesting, or the enemies very smart, and. Like, I thought it was, like, roguelike, but it's kind of not. I don't know. Who played it?
I mean, Tony and I did. It is a little bit roguelike.
I don't know, dude. It's like, you're not going to restart your fucking run. Like, it's just like, if you die 3 times, you have to restart the level, right? Like, that's just a video game, kind of. Like, I don't know. It's not like... I don't get what the big spin here is. Yeah, like.
So, like, if you make that is something that we kind of miss. If you make it to the end of the level, basically, like, all your progress gets saved.
Oh, that's not, yeah, like, that's not, you know.
But the intention is that, like, you're going to keep doing these levels over and over again because you have to kill these, like, visionaries or whatever they are in order. So like you have to kill them all so then you can end the loop. So like at the beginning it is a little more like here's what you're trying to do, but then it kind of like circles back and at some point it'll be a run to kill all these visionaries, basically bosses.
Yeah, I don't know. Are you guys liking it? I thought it was just okay. Like it wasn't.
No, actually,
really
you sound more positive on it than we do.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't think that the stealth is very interesting. The enemy path, like, it's just like, dude, the Splinter Cell game that came out like a decade ago was more fun. Like, I don't get. I think like people really like this studio or whatever, and I've just never played anything by them that I thought was like.
So you are sharing the same exact opinion as your co-host.
But I think part of it also is like I don't give these games enough of a chance. I've played like. I'll play a little bit of Dishonored, and I'm just like, yeah, don't get it. Not clicking, you know? And then,
I never get to, I've tried Dishonored maybe 3 times, and I never make it past, like, the second or third level, because I'm like, all right, well, that's enough of that, and I don't come back.
I like Dishonored. It worked for me, but, they're very specific. The way they do things is very specific, and I don't think it plays very well in all genres.
I generally like stealth. I like being able to hack things and turn it against people, but I just feel like it's just not super interesting in this. Like, I don't know. Like, again, it might be one of those things where maybe if I play it more, I'd change my opinion, but like, their games just turn me off so quick.
Okay, so I'm very curious, because this came up this came up on Reset earlier this week or last week. How often do you continue a game that you aren't dealing with that you actually change your opinion on?
I'm sure it's happened. I can't give you an example, but
I'm less patient
these days because I, as I get older, I know what I like, you know, and I'm just like, this isn't, you know, it's great.
For me, Earl, it's not often. Like, I mean, I will probably finish Deathloop. But I doubt my opinion will change super much on it.
So, just for a background, the notion of the thread came from somebody being like, the worst advice you can give somebody is like, if they're not enjoying a game, it's to just like, it's not for you and give it up. Like, you never know. And I'm like, yeah, but how often do people I'm not saying that there's certain type, like an RPG, for example. I'm not going to say like you spend 5 minutes and you kind of know if it's good or bad. But like, there should be a finite amount of time where it's like, oh, I've tried this. It's not for me. It's not going to be for me. That I think we should accept. Yeah. And I thought that was just very fascinating when they were like, no, you should never tell somebody that. I'm like, but there are times where you just don't like something. It happens.
The only time I can actually remember, and it's a game I finished this year, was Assassin's Creed Origins. When for some reason, like, I hated the combat when I played it the first time through, and I just, it bothered me. I never figured it out. I never got into it. But then for some reason, I played it again this year, and it just clicked. And so I ended up playing through the entire game. And that is the only time I can remember that happening.
I think that's also slightly different. I do think if you stop and come back, like, there's probably an element of, like, oh, you know what? Like, I'm sure you've had this happen, or maybe, where, like, you've played a game that, like, you've played a boss or an encounter, and you just cannot win. Yep. And you go away, and you come back, and it's just like, oh, I was an idiot. I should have just been doing this, or I see it killing.
Yeah, I've had that happen before where you come back, like, you die, like, 10 times, and then you come back the next morning and play, and you beat it on the first try.
Yes.
Like, oh, I'm so stupid. Why didn't I do this before?
Or, like, what was different about this time? And sometimes it's just, like, that fatigue. Like, I mean, I do this at work. It's where you get into your head about, like, oh, it has to be done this way. And then at some point you realize, like, wait, why did it have to be done this way? And it's like, oh, I could have been doing this the entire time.
Yep. I mean, I probably a more like immediate example of like over and over getting in like a bad loop is like when you're playing Call of Duty or Halo and some dude is like, he is just holding down a corner or an area and
you just keep on charging,
running at him the exact same way every time. It's like, this is not working. And like, eventually if you can stop yourself, like you can figure out like, I need to flank him or come at it from a different angle, but
oh, wait for your teammates.
Yeah. Like stop being trying to be the lone wolf and do it. Or, you know, like a boss battle, like you shut it off. You come back the next day and like, all right, I get it now. I see what they did wrong.
Yeah. So I feel like that is, yes. So that, but the notion that like you should continue playing a game you don't like because maybe it's that one in a million that turns out that you are actually like, oh yeah, I actually do enjoy this. Just seems like too much effort for me.
I wouldn't say it's one in a million for me. I I'm not like, I don't have an example that comes to mind, but I know I've changed my mind about games.
And again, it happens. I think we've all, I mean, I don't tend to play RPGs. People always, two of my favorite games of all time are like Xenoblade and Skies of Arcadia. Like, it happens where like maybe something just kicks with you, but it also happens that like I put time into games that I don't care for and I keep on trying because I'm like, people are like, no, it's a really great game. And it's like, I still do not get the hype around The Last of Us. I've tried. I got like 3 hours in. And I'm just like, I do not understand what people see in this. But that's a me thing. So.
Right. I mean, that's something I would say for anybody is like, oh, don't tell people not to move. No, like definitely. If you're not like gelling with a game, and you're not enjoying it, there are thousands of other games to play. Go play something that you might like. I mean, maybe one day you come back to it and I'm like, you know, oh, I get it now. But
and I will say, I know this is part and parcel. I do think, like, you know, a Game Pass and PlayStation Essentials or whatever the hell it's called does kind of make some games disposable in that sense where it's like, oh, I didn't pay for this. I don't care for it. I think when I was younger, I had time and you got like one or two games you force yourself to enjoy it because you were not getting another one for some time.
Yeah.
But as I've gotten older, that made less and less sense for me.
Well, even now, if I spend $60 on a game, I'm going to give it more of a shot than I would.
You're a good person, Jeffrey.
The thing is, I don't pay $60 for out of games anymore for reason.
But even then, with you might give it a little bit more of a shot. But yeah, there are times when you come home with three games and it's like, not this year, but it's happened in the past. Like, I know that, like, we have, oh shit, this is a crazy week, and like go out and buy more than one game,
like two generations ago.
Yeah, and then you have, it's like, oh, this one's not working for me right now. I'm gonna try this other new thing I got.
Yeah, and that used to be a problem. Like, but not just for games. Like when to date myself, like when Blockbuster used to have like a buy two get two free on movies. And yes. Like, I gotta find like four movies, and you buy, and you get essentially what stocking filler is. Those movies that did not do anything, and they just sat in the library. It's kind of like why I own Aragon and The Covenant and some other movies. Big Mama's House and Bringing Down the House are all like either that or like Circuit City would have like those random ass two packs where it's like, it's just like a buck more to get another movie I've never seen. Maybe I might like it.
Yep.
Usually not, but maybe.
Yeah, and yeah, I think, as you said, like Game Pass certainly gives us that ability to just be like, nope, this isn't doing it. There's 300 other games here I could try. You move on to something else. Well, Jeff, let us know if you play more Deathloop.
Okay.
Did you play anything else this week?
Me? I beat Splatoon.
Oh, how was that at the end?
Speaking of giving games more of a chance when you pay $60 for them, I thought the ending sucked. It was really super annoying and long and never ending and kind of hard.
Like, just like a big boss battle at the end?
No, it's super long, super long. Multi-part, so
it's like the champions role in Mario, the 3D Marios, right?
It's long. It's even longer than I get what you're saying, but it's longer. Like, you're going up this tower. It's like so multi-part. It's almost like multi-leveled. And I can't remember if that was like the very final thing. No, it wasn't. I can't even remember what the very final thing was. I think the very final thing was less hard. But right before that, you're like going down this cylinder that's like rotating. And so there's like enemies everywhere. You're trying to get forward to go fight this boss. Like, this boss will keep moving forward, like keep moving back down the cylinder. You're running towards him. There's a bunch of shit in the way. But then every once in a while, the cylinder will start like turning. And if you don't keep up with its turns, you're just falling off the side of it. You could even be like running with it as it turns, but if you like missed a step or like went a little sideways and whatever, you're falling off that fucking thing. So it's pretty like hectic and like annoying, and that also goes on. I think you have to hit him at least three times, but it's like, you know, each time you have to like run down like a mile of the cylinder to get into the range of hitting him. That was annoying. I think that the final boss after it, like I said, I think it's not as hard, but it's just like, I just wasn't super into the game to begin with. I'm actually surprised that I like didn't just say fuck it, because like I don't care. I don't know, man. It's longer than the other Splatoon games for the single player. So if you're not sick of that, there's a lot of it. And I skipped a lot of it. It was still longer. Because, you don't, you know, most of the levels are optional.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like the multiplayer. I think the multiplayer is good. I haven't played it much since finishing, but the multiplayer is always fun and solid. And I got into using the splat roller. Because you just run up on people and murder them. And you
have to, like, the really big
It's like
the big rolling
paint roller. Yeah. Like, you don't have to be good at shooting. It's just like a blunt force thing. Yeah, it's just about getting in someone's face, you know, which I enjoy stuff like that. So I'm like, oh, I found a weapon that I like. But I haven't touched it since that night. But I'm sure I will play more of the multiplayer. But I just don't love, it's not like my favorite thing, this game. It was just okay.
Earl, have you played more Splatoon?
I have not. I really have not. I mean, the only stuff I've really touched have been Halo 5, which I beat, Ghost Recon, and Fortnite, I think, has been the extent of my game.
You were like the Splatoon fan here. You're all like, it's going to be amazing.
Don't get me wrong. I do. I think I played Salmon Run during this time. No, I do. It's nothing to do with Splatoon. It's really more just like, it's been a very weird 3 weeks between work and mental health and birthdays and all this other jazz. And, you know, like, I will play. And part of it was I also kind of made a cognitive decision to not play them much because I'm going to California. So I got several 6-hour flights in the next week. So like, that's a good time to kind of knock off some Splatoon and Xenoblade, or read. Reading is fundamental, I'm told.
Should read, yes.
So yes, it's so yeah, I got that stuff. But yes, I understand. I've mostly been playing Salmon Run. I've been a huge fan of Salmon. I'm a huge fan. We've done this before too. I'm a huge fan of what do you call that? The horde modes. I think they're really fun. I'm surprised like somebody hasn't come up with a game that's purely just horde esque for you friends. But I guess that has limited its shelf life.
So is there like the Salmon Run is like a horde mode, yeah?
Yeah, it is a horde mode.
Do you build structures and stuff, or is it
no?
Just,
it's just
you're fighting off all the enemies coming in at you.
Yeah, yes and no. You are fighting off the enemies, but the point of Horde, Salmon Run, is like it's essentially like you're going. It's like you're going through an expedition, so you have to collect a certain number of eggs. So that's done by defeating bosses and then depositing them. So like part of it is like managing that and also just like maybe sometimes managing it and getting those eggs up there or like your own bosses closer to it. You fail if all of your teammates die or you don't collect enough eggs in a round. And you don't build structures, but I mean it's Splatoon, so part of it is like you want to ink as much structure as possible to make it easier for you to navigate the space. And then they have the new thing this time. I forget what they call it, but it's like a giant salmon kaiju that can be a mysterious fourth round, and that is just like a giant creature that you're trying to destroy in a set number of time. So it is like a boss battle, but it is what am I trying to say? It does not count for your failure rate. I mean, it counts for your success, but if you fail, you won't fail the overall run. If you fail if you fail any of the three steps, you fail the overall run. But like, if you pass the three and then get this and fail, you still succeed. And it's interesting because like again, your guns don't do a ton of damage to it. So part of it is like collecting those eggs and then building those eggs into like, cannons to shoot it at this boss salmonoid. So yeah, it's a treat. I do enjoy me some Splatoon and Salmon Run, and even what was I gonna say? And even Turf War. So yeah.
Speaking of like horde mode type games, I don't even know why I ended up booting it up, but I've been playing some Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare 2.
Yeah.
Which Tony has played I don't know if it was you, Tony, or your kid, but you,
it's a combination. Yeah. you can actually play that game like co-op. It's fun.
You have like almost all the achievements in that game.
So. Yes.
That game is really good, and like a big portion of that is the it's called Garden Ops or Graveyard Ops, depending upon which side you're playing as. And it's a horde mode. Like you're defending like your base. You're not building structures or anything, but you're fighting off like the waves of enemies coming in. Like really fun there.
Really light, really easy to get into. It's not like I feel like a lot of those modes and a lot of other games, you need someone to explain it to you. And this is not that. This is easy to figure out.
Yeah, like it's you pick one of the the zombie characters or one of the plant characters, depending upon what you like. And actually, if you're playing single player, you can switch between like the four different characters to try them all out. And yeah, and like it's pretty simple. Like it's kind of Battlefield, but like babyfied. It's first person. You're playing in third person, but like you can aim down the sights and fire stuff in first person. And they all have specials that they can do, and it's fun. Like it's like real simplistic, but cool enemies to fight off. The enemies, like the bosses that they have, are interesting enough. It's like kind of a quick thing, and like it's like a whole round of Garden Ops or Graveyard Ops is 10. Like it takes 10 rounds, but it's over in like 20 minutes. So it's like really, it's like a nice quick in and out type thing, and like hey, this is really fun. I'm really enjoying this. So I've been going back playing more of it. There's two full single player campaigns, depending upon which side you want to play as, and that some of that is like, you're going to go out into the neighborhood and do stuff, and then other times it's just like, here's a weird five run round of horde mode. But for the most part, like it's been fun going through and playing that. I played some of it when it first came out, but I don't know. I just like, kind of fit with a spooky season. There's zombies in it, so
that's right.
And it's like lighthearted enough that it's like, yeah, this is fun. So. Good stuff. And that game is 6 years old now, 5 or 6 years old, and it still has a. Like, you quickly get into a match, like if you want to play. Versus like the team deathmatch type stuff, or if you want to play with other people in the horde mode, like very quick.
I think the player base for that game is big, right? Because little kids can play it. Like it's like baby's first shooter.
That's why I originally bought it. I bought the first one and this one for my son. And I know he played a bunch of them. But I had not gone back, and it's like they really improved with two over one was just the multiplayer stuff with the horde mode. This has, I think it has a whole open world you can explore.
Yep.
It's like really, really neat. Like there's another one that's, I think it's free to play. Battle for Neighborville or something like that.
Yeah.
I've not booted that one up, but maybe after I work my way through this, like give that
a shot.
No,
it's basically the third one.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of similarity.
Cool. So played some of that. Speaking of like spooky season, also have been playing some Resident Evil, specifically 5 and Revelations. 5 was fun to go back to.
Yeah.
That is it is straight action. Like it is not like there's no.
I mean, 4 kind of was too. I get it like ramps it up a little bit more. Like it's even more actiony, right? It's not. Yeah, like it's, 4 it's was. Even... You weren't doing a whole lot of puzzles and shit in 4. Like it was all.
There's zero puzzles. This one's like get the key and then And like sometimes it's even like, if you kill all the enemies in the area, that and the last enemy you kill will drop the key you need to get out of that area. So, but I don't know, like the gameplay works real well. It does. It's really weird going from 5 to Revelations because in 5 you are rooted. Like when you press left trigger to pull your gun up, you're standing there. Like, you're not moving. You cannot move backwards or forwards with your gun while it's out. That's a little bit weird to go back to, but I think the way they pace everything, it works real well. The levels are cool up until the end, where it kind of goes off the deep end.
I would also say some of those boss encounters are really tedious.
Yeah.
Especially, and I think 4 had the same issue that just got exacerbated in this and then really terrible in 6 with some of those quick time events that happened during like a cutscene or a chase.
Yep,
where it's
yep.
like you're not expecting it, and it's like, oh, I'm dead already because you gave me no time to react. Like, you have to know these things are coming. And yes, I think there's that boss. There's two bosses that I think of 5 that always drive me nuts, which is one of them the same boss, Proyong, which is the Wesker and Joe fight in the mansion.
That one sucks.
Yes. Especially, I assume you're playing with an AI. Which I don't know if that makes it easier or worse because you don't have somebody to then kind of bait Wesker into stuff or Jill. And then the other one is, I forget what's the name, but it's like a giant creature you fight in a village. And then you have to go on like the back of the truck. And like, so you're shooting it and then you have to like stop shooting it to perform the quick time events. But like, you have to stop shooting it for you to actually perform the quick time events. And it's just a really tedious encounter.
Yeah, the boss fights in 5 are not great, but I think most of the rest of it works real well.
Yes.
And anytime you have to fight Wesker and you have to fight him 3 times, it is brutal. Like, he's basically a superhero, right? Like, he can move super fast.
He's super strong.
He hits you and he does a ton of damage to you.
Yes, I think the last fight, if I'm not mistaken, like, it's a one-hit KO if he gets you in certain moves.
Yep.
And that's a whole other thing with like his monster form. Or though it does give me my favorite scene in the franchise, which is Chris punching the crap out of a boulder. So we got that for us.
Yeah, that is so goofy. I knew it was coming because like I played this before. The first time I played it with a friend. In co-op, and I think that works real well. But playing it, the AI partner is perfectly fine as well here. But yeah, like when you have to like go up and smash like you have to smash the A button, and then all of a sudden it'll throw up like the X button because you have to like throw a hook at it as well. It's so dumb that he's just punching this boulder.
Yep.
So Sheva can jump across, and then you have to fight. You have to fight this like weird Wesker. He's all infected at that point, and that's just like an annoying fight because he takes so much damage. Like any of the Wesker fights. What's cool about the Resident Evil 5 on Xbox One and PS4, I guess, is that it's like the complete edition, so it has both the DLC chapters. So there's a DLC chapter with Chris and Jill, like where you see stuff in the game where it's flashbacks of where Jill tackles Wesker out a window, and Chris thinks Jill's dead, but now that Wesker's alive, he's trying to track down where Jill is. So it's like that whole sequence of them going into this mansion, and it's set up like the mansion from Resident Evil 1. So it's like cool exploring that, with looking like Resident Evil 5, though. And it has puzzles. Like, there are actual puzzles you have to solve there, and it's neat. It's a kind of a neat little DLC. It only takes about an hour, but it's cool. And then there's the other one is Jill and Josh.
Oh, poor like, Josh.
Sheva's like older brother partner type guy. And that one is way more action oriented. Like, you are fighting a ton of the zombies, but
So just a random fun fact, because like I said, I played this in co-op, is that Josh, Shever is the main character of that, in that Josh cannot do most things in terms of progressing the story or the plot or any of the action. So like, he can't execute certain puzzles. Like, if you go through a door, he will disappear during cutscenes. So it's really funny that he's just kind of like a tag along. That like the game's just like, crap, we have to acknowledge that he's here, but he's not important at all to anything. So like, yeah, there would be times, because I played as Josh, and there would be times where it's like, okay, we're here, what are we supposed to do? And I'm like, I don't see anything. My friend's like, oh, you didn't see this button here? I'm like, nope. Like, okay. And then like, he'd go through a door or something, like a cutscene, and it's like her, like Josh just appears out of nowhere eventually. I'm like, okay. Josh gets no respect here. No respect for Josh.
No, it's very much like Jill doing everything, so it is kind of funny. Yeah, good game. Jeff, since I think you probably played 4 more recently. Is 4 done in chapters like 5 is?
I thought that was something they added in re-releases of 4.
Okay. So my memory of 4 is I thought it was like one continuous thing. Like there's cutscenes and saves, but it's not like 5 is very much. This is, you know, there are 3 levels in this area. You can do 1-1, 1-2, 1-3.
We have to say some kind words to Jeff right now because of what just happened in the Bears game. They.
Yeah.
They had the ball 4th and goal. Justin Fields threw the ball to his receiver. The ball hit the receiver in his hands in the end zone. He bobbled it and regained control, but on the wrong side of the goal line, laying out of bounds.
Oh no.
So they lost the ball on downs.
So it was 4th and goal, right?
That was on 4th and goal. That was our 4th and goal play.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive, Jeff.
Is that where Jeff went? There's no Jeff here.
He left. Just,
so
he knew we were going to say something and
muted himself just so he can scream.
there's loud amounts of profanity and breaking things, and he's destroyed half of his apartment by now. And, you know. Well done, Jeff.
And then in addition to Resident Evil 5, after I finished 5, I started up on Revelations again, which is one of my favorite Resident Evil games. I really love the boat setting of that. And that game still holds up real well. And actually, the raid mode they have in there, which is basically like, here's a level, run through, kill all the enemies, and complete it. That works real well. And it plays exceptionally well, especially coming off 5, because you know you're playing as Jill in the campaign, and she can move while shooting, so it's like a nice improvement over what Resident Evil had been previously. It's crazy that was a 3DS game when it came out, so it looks phenomenal on like the Xbox One, and looked great when it came out on 360 and PS3 as a console game too. Just great looking game. Plays fantastic. It's a little more classic Resident Evil, although still very action oriented. But you're finding puzzle pieces and different keys to different doors, and it's neat. It's a really neat game. The last thing that I was poking at was a Dead Island.
Which one?
The original Dead Island, or the definitive edition on Xbox. The one that takes place at the resort, like where it starts out. And I think that game starts out super, super strong.
Yep.
I have just got into the city, which is Act 2, and I think it takes a nosedive from there. But the resort setting of that game is fantastic. I think it plays real well. And now I think I'm in.
Like, can find. Yeah, is that the one that starts in the hotel, or is that Riptide?
Starts in the hotel. Like you wake up after, you know,
yeah,
like the alarm's going off, and like you go out, and like the half people are either running away or there are zombies attacking them in the hallway. It's fun. It's a really, really well set up game. You know, it is designed like Fallout, but with zombies. I guess it's kind of like a mix of, you know, Fallout or Elder Scrolls with the RPG type system and you know, the perks and stuff mixed with Dead Rising, because like you can build like cool different weapons with different parts and getting blueprints. And then if you were playing with somebody else, it's a little bit like Left 4 Dead. But if you were playing by yourself, it is not, because you don't, except for the cutscenes, you don't have AI partners with you.
Yes.
Game's fun. Like, it's just, I've got into the city and I think now it is less fun. It's more generic looking. You know, the story is not why you're playing that game, so.
No, not at all. That isn't to say there isn't some story in there that's enjoyable, but
yeah. But yeah, Dead Island 2 coming out early next year, I think. So thought I'd poke a little bit at this one again. Still enjoyable. We'll see what Dead Island 2 brings, but all right. Well, Earl, you said you didn't play anything else. Jeff kind of went through what he played with Splatoon. Tony, did you also, right? You're waiting on Madden to be fixed, and
yes,
we're gonna play some Chivalry at some point. Bears lost. Sorry, Jeff. Are they the worst team? Like, is
dude? I mean, I'm no expert, but I can tell you, I've seen every game that they played. This is the only game I didn't watch most of it. What I saw looked like the Bears I've seen every single week, and yeah, they fucking are terrible, dude.
I think offensively they are terrible. I think defensively they're a solid team.
I wouldn't even say that.
I think the Panthers are the worst team in the NFL. Which, you know, first team to fire their coach. Like,
yeah,
clearly,
that's fair.
Not going anywhere with no like upside whatsoever. Like, I feel like Fields is misused. Like, I, having watched that last goal line stand where they had four plays on the goal line and they called four pocket passes with Fields in a row, I'm just like, this is your playbook with, like, aside from Lamar Jackson, like, the most mobile quarterback in the NFL, like, this is what you're calling? And it wasn't like there wasn't time on the clock. Like, they didn't have any timeouts left, but there was still like 40 seconds left on the game clock when they started calling those plays. Like, what are they doing?
You could roll him out, try and sneak him in.
Right. Well, I mean,
run
an RPO, run a read option, run a play, like, do something that's not just a standard, like, let Justin Fields step back and read the field, because he sucks at it. He is not good at that. That is not his strength.
Yeah, he cannot read at all. Like, he just, he can get a full 5 seconds, you know, and he's still like, I gotta run, you know,
yeah,
or the fucking offensive line falls apart and he's fucking scrambling around and getting sacked. Like,
I also feel like he always waits too long. Like, it's like he doesn't see the first, if the first read isn't open, he doesn't know, like, he glances at the other reads, but he doesn't know what he's looking at, and then he decides to scramble. Like, he never takes a chance on any of those other reads. It just looks silly.
The other thing, the other half of it is also, is a lot of times guys are not open. He's not getting a lot of time. It's like the offense as a whole is terrible. But yeah, he's like, he cannot read the field. Like, I don't know. It sucks, man. It sucks being a Bears fan. Like, they're just so bad, dude. Like, this might be the worst I've ever seen them, but, you know, it's been a long life of just seeing shit like this, so I don't know.
Good thing it's not the Super Bowl bound.
it's certainly not Super Bowl bound Bears. Maybe the Giants.
Four and one
Giants. That's surprising.
I'm sure it's not any more surprising to anybody more than it is the Giants.
Oh wow. A little bit of news out there. Overwatch 2 launched recently.
Oh yeah, I guess I didn't try it because I can never get in.
Yes, I did. That seemed to be a common
problem. Seems like nobody can get in. Yeah, yeah. It's been attacked 3 times under DDoS attacks, and
I mean, not to be conspiracy theorist, I'm curious how much of it is actually DDoS. And how much of it is just like, oh, we just can't get this game up and running.
That's fair, too. Like, who knows? That might just be the excuse. We're under attack.
Right.
Please forgive us that we somehow messed up this hugely anticipated game and we weren't ready for the demand on it.
I don't know that it was hugely anticipated, though. Like, I think that's part of it, too. A lot of people hate the fact that it exists in the first place. I mean, it's basically like they launched the original Overwatch as like the, you know, the $60 release that most games at the time were. And then like Apex came out and Fortnite came out and these games are other games were free to play. And like they want that model for Overwatch, but it wasn't built into the original game. So like the only reason that they're coming out with this other version is to make money off of the players. It's not because there's a desire for a new version of the game.
No, and I mean, I think that's W, though, when they had to kill the original version, which does not help your case. There's going to be people who are really upset by that. I can't imagine why. Because, yeah, you take a perfectly good game and you just kill it. It's a really weird rollout. Because, like, early acts, like, again, just to kind of, like, in order to get early access or to get it, I think in general at first, you had to have Overwatch 1, and then you had to like install an update to Overwatch 1 to Overwatch 2, which just basically make, you know, like you're just taking a thing to a coffin. But and then again, the first day was just an absolute mess. And that continues for a week, apparently. So then, you know, like, yeah, it's fun when you get to pay it. I'm like, I drive for like an hour. I'm like, I've not gone back because I've heard it's still like when you do get in, you're waiting a long time to queue up.
They're offering a free legendary skin to make up for the bumpy launch and a weapon charm as part of their apology. So.
Ooh, you know, what we always wanted.
Weapon charms.
I will say, it's always funny to hear about like weapon, like what? I think weapon charms was just created as a way to get something for people to unlock. Like, I never care what little dangy things hanging off my gun in any game.
I unlocked so many playing Apex, and I could not tell you what any of them were. I know all my guns had one, but you never see them.
Yes.
Yeah, like, I mean, because you're not looking at the detail on your gun.
Yeah, so that's why I'm like, oh, yay, I got a dangy thing.
And the only time it's going to look big is on your screen, because somebody looking at you, like, if they're not shooting you, so it'll probably be a team member, like, it's going to look like a little trinket. Like,
yes.
They're not going to get right up on it.
Like, it's just, I mean, it's the same thing with slightly different icons. But like Fortnite, because Fortnite has like you get to see it in motion, but like your drop thing is something only you see, because the only time you drop is at the start of a, so nobody else sees it really. But at least it's still something that kind of makes sense, where you get like this stuff you get. I'm just like, okay, what am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah,
it's that, and it's though, granted, that's more visible, but it's the same thing. I don't care about weapon skins. Like, oh my gosh, my gun's camo. My gun's rainbow colored. I'm like, yay.
Yeah, I remember when like Gears 3 was the first one to really go big on like the weapon cosmetics. It's like, this is the dumbest thing. Like, who cares what your gun looks like? And the goofier it looks, like, it just calls attention to you from across the screen. So
yeah, you're like, you look into the whole like a black area and you see this pink thing sticking out.
Yeah, it's like, I know where you are. Oh, yep. So Overwatch 2, a little bit of a mess right now.
Overwatch 3 will be a pit, though.
It will. I mean, now, to be fair, most of these games, like, I don't want to say most of these games. That's probably the wrong one. But there are frequently games like this that have rocky launches that recover because the franchises are so big. Like, you know, Diablo 3. Like that, it's not like.
I don't think any of us are writing a obituary for.
Yeah.
No.
It will come back. Like this part sucks. It may suck for a few weeks, but it will come back.
I was talking to a friend about this today. I get her. Like, oh, you know, Destiny had a rocky launch. No Man's Sky had a rocky launch.
Yeah.
Those games were able to recover.
I mean, the Division and. Like that stuff, like, you know, as long as the developers support it afterwards, like, it'll be fine. Like, you have main Tony with what, Battlefield 2042, right?
Is yeah, that, no, that game one? That game has made a huge comeback.
Yeah. Yeah, that, it's doable for sure. Hopefully Saints Row in that category.
Okay. That has the massive support that these other franchises have, though.
It does not, but they've outlined. Volition has kind of like outlined what to expect going forward. They have a huge update that's going to fix over 200 bugs and add some like changes to the way the game plays. Hopefully, that will make that game playable. So we'll see. It does not have the support of like Activision and Blizzard or EA or Ubisoft. Like it's coming from a smaller, although, you know, Embracer's not a small publisher, but the studios seem smaller and less supported than some of those the big ones out there. We'll see. I'm hoping that maybe they fix Saints Row and I can finally actually play it without it being broken. And there was some news about the Xbox Activision deal and Sony in the UK with the CMA there. Xbox has come out kind of thrown some shade back at Sony and the CMA over that the reasoning for going to stage two, I guess, of the review. And also Take-Two CEO Strauss Zelnick came out and he said he thinks it's a good deal, that it's good for the industry. I don't, right. This shit's nuts.
I don't understand how. Is it so that he has OE competition on one system? Does it mean that because Rockstar will be a better suited, like Sony and Microsoft's gonna be throwing money at them, because like you take out Call of Duty and GTA and Red Dead are like two of them. I mean, GTA is a bigger franchise, but yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of like not saying anything. Like he was like, "Yeah, I think it's a good thing for the industry. It's a good thing for us as a company."
Yes, it's a good thing for them as a company.
Yeah, he didn't go give like any actual details on it. He was like, I'm not opposed to it, basically.
Yes, if I'm the next biggest competitor, I'm also like, this is fantastic for me.
Sure, eat up Activision, go ahead.
If you want, we will give you money to purchase them. How much we'll do you get need? It back tenfold at some point. When you come begging us for our games.
Yeah. So I guess we'll be seeing more of that as Microsoft is getting out there and making comments on top of Sony and what the CMA have said. It did clear in Brazil completely, which was kind of being questioned a little bit there. But Brazil's regulatory board basically came out and was like, you know, we're approving this with no restrictions. We think it's ultimately good for consumers, and we're not here to protect the interests of one company over another. So basically they shit on Sony's argument. But
so I will say I did not know how this helps the consumer, but
I don't know.
That's a different discussion.
Yeah.
Because, yes, the grand scheme of things, I may not necessarily... Because, again, Sony is not innocent, but I none of these things benefit us
in the
long run. So,
I mean, benefits us as we are already invested in the Xbox ecosystems.
Yes.
It doesn't hurt us at all, I guess, would be a better way of looking at it. But. Okay.
But yes, it's not like, oh man, I'm just like so excited now that Microsoft owns. I mean, there are people who are excited that this company owns that company and whatever. But the grand scheme of things, as a gamer or whatever, it does not change my life in any meaningful manner.
No, I mean, and until Microsoft starts releasing games from any of their studios. Like, it doesn't matter how much shit they buy. You need to actually provide product at some point.
And games that are finished, you know, like, you don't necessarily need a roadmap for Halo that's still being updated. Let's go with that, to be kind.
Yeah.
Yes, that is such a disappointment.
Let's see. Anything else here jumping out at me?
Oh, go on. What were you going to say?
I was just going to tell Jeff that Disney Dreamlight Valley is getting a major content update. Scar is coming, I guess.
Oh, okay. That's not what I was going to say.
Who is Scar?
He's a
Lion King?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my least favorite Disney movie.
I was gonna say, I don't know if Jeff is joking or not, but
Simba's uncle.
I saw it once when I was like a kid.
But
I think as a kid, it was one of those. I can't believe I was like this as a kid, even. But it was like so overhyped that when I saw it, I was like, "Whatever, bro."
Jeff's like, "Nope, I'm out."
You guys oversold this.
Like
Little Mermaid, though.
Well, Ursula may be involved in this update as well.
She's in it. I ran into her.
Well, evidently, maybe she has something to do with Scar's storyline. There's evidently a story. I didn't realize that.
I guess kind of. It's like this. Yeah. It's the thorns are taking over.
Oh no! Okay. Not thorn trilogy again.
Yeah, clear out to. I don't know, the evil, I don't know, fucking
evil, you know, dies.
Gotta kill it. You can never kill the Thorn trilogy.
But what I was going to say is, I think since the last time we recorded, and I could be wrong, correct me if I am, we've never discussed the Mario trailer.
No, because that came out last week, you're right.
Woo!
I liked it.
It looks... animation wise, I think it's really good. I thought Bowser's voice acting was top notch. I do not understand people just dislike Chris Pratt, which is their prerogative, but I'm like, I thought his voice was fine. Like, it's Chris Pratt doing Chris Pratt, but I mean, I'm not gonna say he's the world's greatest voice actor, but I found nothing wrong with his voice. It's like
other than the fact that it's the same voice as the mom from Bob's Burgers.
Yes, that. Oh gosh, somebody put it on something, and I still.
It is identical.
I still could. I don't know if they. They pitched it higher or what. I'm like, I can't tell if that's Bob or if it's a Mario or it's Linda Belcher. But I'm like, But I mean, because yeah, I mean, I like the Echo movies. He did that. Emmett's a fine character. That Chris Pratt has the back of a bet. He just has an everyman voice. Like, it's not very distinct. And I guess people wanted something with like Charles, which I get, but
yeah. And Charles is like a professional voice actor, and he's voiced Mario for a long, long time. But like Chris Pratt has also done so much voice acting. Like, it's not like they just got him off the street and he has no idea what he's doing. Like that, that's kind of how it's being presented.
He's done plenty of voice acting in the past. Yeah, like it may all sound exactly the same.
But... Yes.
And no, like I said, I get people's beef with Chris Pratt himself. Like, I know, like, his religious views and terrible father, or at least to one of his kids. But I thought the voice was fine. The characters look great. I thought, you know, like, the poster and stuff came out beforehand, and I did think Mario looked weird, but in motion, it didn't bother me. I mean, overall, I mean, from what I gathered, honestly, from the not us adjacent people, a lot of people were really positive on the overall trailer and what that means. Like, I had a ton of friends and family who were like, oh, I'm going to see this movie now. Like, this is on people's radar. And honestly, that's all you need to do. Like, I mean, we can sit here and gossip about like whose voice is what, but the fact is it's resonating with people.
Yeah, I mean, my kids aren't going to care who voiced these characters, and I watched that trailer, I'm like, my kids are going to adore this movie, they're going to love this. And you know, that's kind of like, that's what matters, that's the audience. Yeah,
that's the audience you want. And it looks like, I mean, it found a way. Like, I assume like Bowser's gonna be a bit more comical than he's presented, but you know, there was comedy there. There was some tease of action. We have some tease of an actual plot. So I was like, yeah, it's going to be very hard to... I think it's going to be very hard to screw this up. Like, this positive first impression is going to be very difficult for you to then walk back. So yeah, I'm excited. I thought it was a great showcase. The only thing I will say just from a nerdy technical standpoint of movie going is, it's weird that I get New York Comic Con, but it's weird that it dropped now, because there's no family movie in theater that I know of, and there's none that's coming out immediately that I, unless I'm missing something obvious.
No, so I was like looking, like, you know, just planning out ahead, like, hey, what can we go see at Thanksgiving, because there's normally a family movie that comes around there. There is not, like, there's no big...
Like, what is Black Panther?
That is movie. Yeah, but like, there's no you know, big cartoon or something like.
Yeah, there's no like Pixar film or Disney film. I think I don't think it was big, but there was that Wild Tiger thing or whatever. I don't know.
Wild Crocodile.
Yes, there we go. But outside of that, I'm like, yeah, I don't know any, because yeah, like that's what I said. I don't know if I said it on this podcast. I was surprised that they didn't put it with Minions, partially because that's also Universal, Illuminati, so that would have made sense, and then that has an audience.
It was a little weird.
So yeah, that is my one weird nerd complaint. It's like, it's weird that this is just kind of dropping, because like usually, like not always, but usually, like, you know, like there's been a, you know, a few horror trailers because Halloween. And then I assume we'll get stuff for like Shazam and whatever the next Marvel movie is, with Black Panther and Black Adam. Because, you know, and then we'll get like a lot of movies will drop it in December to be with Avatar.
Yeah. Jeff, I do think that Black Panther is going to be the Thanksgiving movie we go to. There's not really much out there.
I just think maybe people are getting out of the way of it, even, you know, the movies for kids. I don't know. I mean, Marvel is for kids, kind of, right? Like,
it is for kids, but like you do, like, I mean, because it's not like you've had like Endgame had kids movies around it. I just feel like it's kind of like romantic comedies where we're getting to the point where fewer and fewer of these are going to, like, they weren't big money makers to begin with if you weren't Disney. Warner Brothers is nerfing their animation studio. We had Minions already. Who makes Sing? I know we had Sing last year, but who makes that? Is that Illumination as well? I don't know why I keep on calling them Illuminati.
I don't know.
I can tell you in a second. It is I think the Illumination.
Mario,
yeah.
Yeah. I think Mario will make money whenever it does come out. Maybe it's not done.
Is it? No, I mean, I'm not talking about the movie. I'm talking about the trailer.
Wow.
Because, like, yeah, it's like, because part of it is like, yes, online is a big part of the campaigns now. But, like, who's going to, like, you know, like, sometimes people don't necessarily always pay attention to online trailers. So you also want people to see it. So I don't know. But it looks good. And I'm happy. And I, again, like, even though it's not a big kids movie, I can imagine it being played in front of, like, Avatar. And like you said, like, possibly Black Panther and Black Adam and all those fun jazz.
Okay, so there is a Disney cartoon coming out the week of Thanksgiving. Just, I did not realize that's what it was because I have not seen any promotion for it. It's called Strange World.
No, don't. Doesn't ring a bell.
It's a Walt Disney Animation Studio.
So it's a big one too. Yeah. I mean, Pixar's the big one, but this is, like, you know, this is Disney.
Yeah. So it's like a Disney classic type one, right? So, yeah, I don't. I don't think I've seen any trailers for this. So maybe that ends up being what we go see. Anyway, yeah, that's the Mario trailer coming out. When is that film? Sometime next year?
April.
Okay.
I already know the date because it's like the weekend after my birthday. So I'm like, maybe that will be like, I mean, my birthday is a Sunday. This is like the Thursday. I mean, the Friday. I mean, maybe I will try to see if I can get anything together for it. A bunch of grown ass folks going to see the Mario movie.
Hey, you know, whatever.
I mean, we did it for Sonic. I mean, why the heck not? Granted, we did not expect the first Sonic to be good, so we went there with the intentions of, like, we had, like, beers and bottles of wine and liquor. It actually turned out to be enjoyable, so you never know.
Well, Earl will be away next week, but I'm going to try and play Scorn.
Ooh.
That comes out tomorrow. We'll see. That. I don't know what to expect from that. I don't think there's any reviews out there yet, so it could be a total fucking nightmare. But it, you know, fits in the spooky vibe of the season. So we will see for next week. So Earl, enjoy San Francisco and wherever else you're going in California.
I'll do my best.
And we will see you when you return. And you can tell us all about seeing Halloween Ending in the theater.
Yeah.
Jeff, say goodnight.
Goodnight.